Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Bless the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Thanking you and praising you for this day. Another day to rejoice in you. Another day to lift up your name. Another day to glorify you. Another day to thank you, Father, for life and strength and provision and everything that you supply. Glorify you. We honor you. We give thanksgiving unto you today. You alone are worthy to be praised. You are great and greatly to be praised. So right now we give it to you, right? Not only our praise, but our lives. Even in this moment, we're giving our minds, our ears to listen to hear what thus saith you. Lead us, guide us, direct us by your spirit and by your word. We thank you, Father, for all of the children, your children, whom we are called, are gathered together in your name in this place, Father, for the same reason, Father, that is to lift you up and hear from you. So anoint the speaker, no matter how worthy or unworthy he may be, but let your word go forth in all of the power and might that it was designed to do. Let it transform, let it change lives. We give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Shalom, saints. I am thankful to be sharing with you this morning, not just you that are here in the sanctuary, but also those who are tuning in online, iChurch@3cla.org. We are streaming in English and we are streaming in Spanish. So we welcome you. We thank you so much for joining us. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, there is a tab to your right where you can connect with us and let us know just that. All right. So we have been talking about the importance of knowing. And we found out a lot about knowing. First and foremost, where we read the scripture that says that many are going to come in that day and he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And when we looked up that word knew, it is genosko. And genosko is the Greek word for that knowing. And that means that it's a knowing that comes from having a relationship. So basically, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never had a relationship with you. I never knew you like that. And you can't truly know him unless you have what? Relationship. Tell your neighbor, genosko. Genosko. That's what we want. That's what we desire. That's what we want to achieve. So we found out that. Then we found out that the Hebrew word for knowing is da'af. Say da'af. D-A-A-T-H. And it is the kind of knowledge that has to be put in practice so that it can grow and what? Build upon itself. Tell your neighbor, da'af. That's what you want to know. And knowing it just, you know, have you heard the old saying that says, in one ear and out the other? So you can hear stuff but not really grab hold to it. And it's like, this is the kind of knowledge and knowing that comes from putting it into practice. Tell yourself, I got to do it. I got to do it. So that's what we've been talking about, the importance of it. So let's go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. This is a basis that we are planting our lives on. And, you know, everybody, they want me to study. They want Apostle to study. Y'all just want to come and, you know, whatever we know, that's all y'all know. No. 2 Timothy 2:15 states, and let's read it together. Study to show thyself. Let me translate that to you in Urban Dictionary. Yourself. Study to what? Show yourself. Tell your neighbor, yourself. Say us self. I made it up. It's my word. I can do that. We got to show the study to show ourselves what? So this is what that tells me. It tells me two things. It tells me that there is an approval process. And then it tells me there is a disapproval. There are some things that are approved. And there's some stuff that's unapproved. So when people come and tell you, you can live any old kind of life you want to, and it doesn't matter because he loves you, because he just said, I have to study to show myself approved. But hold up. Do I just need to get a book and just study? Do I just need to get the word and just look through it? That's a part of it. But we found out that the word study meant something. And what does the word study mean? Spudazo. Tell your neighbor, spudazo. Well, don't do it that hard. Because you're going to end up spooing. It's the Greek, spudazo. That's the Greek word for study. And spudazo means this. Make an effort, y'all. You're talking about your, this is, say this is a lifestyle. Say this is my lifestyle. This is how, so what is a lifestyle? It's how you live. So what you do is you have to spudazo, meaning you got to make an effort in this life. Amen. This ain't easy. Amen. He never said it was going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. When I make it in and he says, my good and faithful servant, come on in. Well done. Well done. As far as I'm concerned, it's going to be worth it all. Anybody feel like I do this morning? It's going to be worth it. So we got to spudazo, make an effort. We got to be diligent. We got to do work. You find that in all that in study? Absolutely. That's why we go deeper. We go deeper in the word. We look up these words because it gives us the true and the deeper meaning. So it's not just study. I don't know about y'all, but after I have been exposed to HDTV, I can't go back to the regular stuff. Right? I mean, once we got 3D and we even got 4D now. Anybody been to a 4D movie? The water actually comes out at you and you know that stuff. Which one did you go see? Jurassic Park, yeah. Yeah, and IMAX, whatever. But once you've had that experience, you can't go back. So that's what it is when you get deeper into the word, when you get into that Greek and the Hebrew, you can't go back. And so it makes an effort. We're diligent. We do work. We study earnestly. If we go back to the verse, it says, study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, and approved is accepted, a workman. Now that says it just enough. Can we go back to the scripture? A workman that needeth what? Not be ashamed. Rightly. First of all, let's go needeth not be ashamed. If you're not, get this, if you're not spadazoing and you claim to be a believer, right? Are you with me? And if you're not spadazoing, you're not living a life, you're not making an effort, then you should be ashamed. Because somebody going to challenge you. Somebody going to say, you can go to the store. Where y'all shop? Target. Albertson. Wherever you go. Fresh and easy. Food for less. Smart and final. I like that one. But guess what? You're supposed to spadazo in smart and final. So when you come up there with your alizé to the shopping cart, and somebody, hey, Hey, praise Yahweh. And you got your Alizé. Give me another one. See, nobody wants to say it because they don't want to be located. It's okay. You heard it. What's the one that Puffy is doing? Ciroc. Okay. So you got your Ciroc and your Alizé. Somebody still don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to say this.
Merlot.
I'm going to go even further. Old English 800. Boone's Farm. MD 2020. What you? They looking to see that you. You said that you went to 3CLA. You said you was living a life, but you got enough liquor on the counter to open a liquor store. Are you spadazzling? And that's what I told. Anytime y'all see each other getting out of line, we need to remind each other. Spadazzo. When my brothers and sisters are getting a little angry and upset and hot under the collar of each other, what do you say? Spadazzo. Your neighbor is tripping right now because like, what time are we going to get out of here? Tell them spadazzo. And if you're spadazzling and you're a workman, somebody say workwoman. You don't need to be ashamed because you're going to do something. You're going to be able to rightly divide word of truth. And then when we looked up rightly dividing, that word rightly dividing together is a Greek word orthotomeo. Why are you breaking down these words? Because it needs to be broke down. Because some of y'all think just because you got an old dusty Bible up in your house that you spadazzo in, and it's more than that. You got to live this life. It's not just you picking up the Bible, but it's you allowing the Bible to be inside of you that you're living it. And when somebody sees your life, they can see what you're saying you are. Who are you spadazzling? Are you a believer that's spadazzling? Because I'm always running into Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian too. I do that. No, but are you living it? And that's why we've been talking about this. So rightly dividing Greek orthotomeo means to teach or share. What? It's up to the preacher to do that. No. You're supposed to study to show yourself approved. A workman unto Yahweh that needeth not be ashamed, orthotomeo. Meaning that you're saying what? You got the word, you're sharing it, and you're sharing the truth directly and correctly. You're cutting a straight line. You can take that word and you say, nope, this is right and this is wrong. This is good and this is bad. There is no gray areas when you rightly divide the word of truth. People are always looking for a gray area. Hallelujah, I'm rightly dividing the word so that there is no gray area. I know what's right and wrong. I know what's black and white. I know how far to go. I know where the line is, and I'm cutting that line. These are, I can truly attest to the days of yay and nay. What is this song? Bring back the days of yay and nay, where we can plainly see the way. Yes and no. What we knew exactly what to do. We knew what was wrong. We knew what was right. And when you rightly divide the right word of truth, you draw that line, you hold a straight course. And it says you demonstrate the truth. And basically, you're walking the truth. Anybody walking the truth today? Anybody walking? Are you walking? Are you walking the truth? All right. So this is the beauty of it. We were talking about there was a high regard put on learning in the Hebrew culture. And so the kids would actually, get instructions at an early age. And so this is how they felt about learning. They said, unless the generation gets to know the Torah all the way down to their bones, we are one generation away from extinction. So the goal was, let's get the Torah into their bones. So at 6 years old, and also they had, if you will, it was called the Talmud. Say Talmud. And Talmud was like, it was like the policies and procedures of administering the word, right? And so this is a quote from the Talmud. And it said, under the age of 6, we do not receive a child as a pupil. But from 6 upwards, we accept him and stuff him with Torah like an ox. That is what that's what they went by. First century Yehudims or Jewish Hebrews. That's what they did. And so at 6 years, oh, you did Bet Sefer. Say Bet Sefer. And Bet Sefer was at the age of 6 to 10 years old. This is what it was called, the house of the book. Say house of the book. And in Bet Sefer, you would memorize the Torah. Do we know what memorizing the Torah means? The Torah was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? Those were the first 5 books. They memorized them at 6 years old. Can you imagine? But you know, we think that that's impossible. No, your kids are memorizing all kinds of stuff right now. They memorizing, my daughter, she was in the store and she was singing, I was a tiger, you're gonna hear me roar. I said, what's that? That's Katy Perry. I said, wait, we don't listen to Katy Perry. Where you hear from Katy Perry from? My friends. I mean, that's what they do. The other folks is getting your kids to memorize stuff. Your kids not right now. Some of y'all are memorizing Drake's lyrics. Yes, y'all are. You even know them. You used to call me on my cell phone. But they're memorizing that. I mean, when I was a kid, I was memorizing Rapper's Delight. Have you ever been over a friend's house to eat and the food just ain't no good? I mean, the macaroni salad, the pizza, I'm listening, the chicken tastes like wood. What are you talking about? But then, y'all don't know that, but then they know hip, hop, the hip, to the hip, the hip, hop, the rock, the don't stop, the rock, to the rhythm of the... Okay. Memorizing that. We're memorizing all kinds of stuff. Your kids got video games. They're memorizing exactly what to do, how to move and jump and do all that other stuff. What the little bonus thing is. But we won't. We let the Sunday school teachers teach them how to memorize scripture. We don't do that. The parents. Any parents in the house? Are you? Don't raise your hand. Are you teaching memorization of scripture? So I was getting quiet up in here. But then when it comes up to the wobble, hey, big girl, I want you back. You say, go say it, baby. Go and say it. We know. So your kid is going to memorize something. They're going to be filled with somebody's knowledge. Why not let it be the knowledge of the word? Right? And so those kids would learn at that age. They would do that. And then the best students would continue on and they would go to the next. But before we do that, Yeshua did that. Go to Luke, the 2nd chapter, really quickly. When he was a child, Luke, 2nd chapter. One of our best examples is Yeshua. Hallelujah. And you guys notice, here we operate in total truth. We use his original Hebrew name, Yeshua. which the name actually means he will save, he will deliver. And that's exactly what he came to do. So when we use that, we are utilizing the true name that he was given. And it says he was given a name that's above what? Every name. Pastor Tom, why are you putting emphasis on that? And it's just you putting the emphasis on. No! The scripture says that he was given a name that was above every name. He's putting the emphasis on. That there is no other name whereby men what? Must be saved. So if the name Jesus didn't come to 1611, my God, what were they calling him before 1611?
Yeshua.
So we got to remember that. Embrace the truth. And Luke 2 chapter, the 40th verse says, and the child grew. Somebody say child.
Child.
He grew. We're talking about Yeshua here. And waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of Yahweh was what? Was upon him. And 41. I wasn't planning to read this whole thing, but I think we should. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, say 12 years old,
12 years old.
He went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now, I'm going to take you to the next level, which is Bet Talmud. Say Bet Talmud.
Bet Talmud.
In Bet Talmud, you started that when you were around the age of 10 years old, for like 10 to 14. Bet Talmud was the house of learning. And you would memorize the rest of the Hebrew scripture. And then you would begin learning the art of question and answer. So this is what Yeshua did. So like what we do in school, we'll say 1 + 3 is what? And when the teacher says that, what do you say? Right? So I'm the teacher, and I say 1 + 3 is what?
4.
That's not how they learned. You know how they learned? When the teacher would say, what is 1 + 3? This, I'm just giving you an example. They weren't talking about 1 + 3. But the rabbi would say, what is 1 + 3? And the student would say, what is 2 × 2?
Okay.
Amen.
Oh, okay.
Then he'd say, what is 5 × 10? And the student would say, what is 10 divided by? What is 100 divided by 10? They would answer a question with a question, and it was an exchange of knowledge. It's like, I know, but do you know? But see, we don't like that. Anytime anybody asks us a question with a question, stop! Don't ask me a question with a question. Answer me. Right? Isn't that how we do? We don't want nobody to answer us or give us a question with a what?
Question.
But it was an art to it. And in that art, you would answer the question, but you would give an answer to the question, but you would always throw out a question yourself. Then when they gave you a scripture, like Mark 1:7, whatever that concept was, they would say, what about Mark 1? I'm giving you an example. What about Genesis 4:10? And they say, well, the concept started in 4:1, and then they would give what that concept was. Ooh.
Wow.
Isn't that heavy?
That is heavy.
And so when you would ask a concept in the middle of scripture, they would have to give you the concept before that scripture, and they would have to give you the concept after that scripture.
Whoa.
Wow.
Do you know the word like that?
Mm.
I say, what's Yohanan or John 3:17? What is it? John 3:16. See? But I'm asking you 3:17. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yohanan 3:17, what comes before that? And what does that say? That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever what? Should not perish, but what? Everybody in here has that memorized. But what about 3:14? At age 10 to 14, they mastered that art. So when Yeshua was in the temple at 12, When he was asking questions, that's what he was doing. He was doing the art of that exchange, right? Because they were getting to know the word. And he waxed what? Strong in that wisdom. Then the next one, if you were the best of the best, say best of the best.
Best of the best.
Then you would go to Bet Midrash, which was the house of study. And you had to be age like 14 and up. And say you had to be the best of the best.
Best of the best.
Give me a best school. Not at 14. Think of university.
Harvard.
MIT.
Yale, Princeton.
Dartmouth,
MIT. USC.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I thought so. Now somebody going to say UCLA, right? But you had to be the best of the best. So imagine if your child at the age of 14 years old was selected to follow a rabbi. Come on, somebody. It was as if your child was going to all that stuff that y'all yelled out. And when your child, anybody, wait. I saw Caroline. In the house. Caroline, what school did you graduate from? USC. And is her daddy in the house?
Oh.
See, that's what I'm talking about. See, I remember when Caroline was a baby, and every time Caroline got up there and did like a Christmas program or whatever, we knew that dad was in the house because he would say, oh. But now, as he's gotten older, he just says, oh. But his child, Caroline, and how'd you feel about Caroline going to USC?
Well, like, I feel like Candace going to UCLA.
And Candace is going to what? UCLA? Wait, so you got a daughter that's graduating from UCLA and you got a daughter that graduated from USC? Blessed and highly favored, brother. Two outstanding universities. No matter what the rivalry is between y'all off up in here, they're two outstanding universities. Well, that your child being selected by a rabbi, because at this age, the rabbi would have to choose. And guess what? What about the dudes that didn't make it? If you were not good enough, they said, go find a trade. Go to trade school. Most preferably, they're always accepting fishermen. So go become a fisherman and go get married, and maybe you'll have children that are going to be good enough for Bet Midrash.
Wow.
But you, go find something else to do. So you have fishermen. And when the rabbi, if he would select you because you were all that, he would say something to you. He would say, Lech Aharai. Say lech. Aharai. Lech. Aharai. Let's say it one more time. Lech. Aharai. And guess what that meant? Follow me. You could only lech aharai if you're the best of the best. If you were not the best of the best, it was the opposite of that. They were just like, gone. Or as we say in our vernacular, bye, Felicia. You have to go. Let's go somewhere. Let's go here. Let's go to Matityahu, which is Matthew. Wow. It was a big deal. Parents were proud. So now it makes sense. Now that I understand that piece, It all makes sense to me. Because even this, when we were talking about earlier, but I'll just go here for right now. Matthew or Yahu, the fourth chapter. That's why, let me just give you this little piece. When you follow the rabbi, and I said this before in an earlier session, but I'm going to bring it back because it's important. When you follow the rabbi, rabbis had different ways that they interpreted how to actually do the rabbi. It was come up, some of them would do certain things on the Sabbath, and some other rabbis wouldn't do things on the Sabbath. And so whatever those differences are, the rabbi would write them. Whatever that rabbi's variations on the word, how they interpreted the word, was almost like another book that they would carry around with them. The book was called a yoke. So everything that that rabbi did, especially according to that rabbi, was called a yoke. So if you were lucky enough for a rabbi to say, Lech Ahurai to you, or follow me, then you would have to take on the yoke of that rabbi. Whatever that rabbi did, however he did you know that they would even use the restroom the same way the rabbi did? No joke. They were so connected, and they wanted to emulate him so much, and they wanted to do what he wanted to do and how he did it so much that whatever he did, they were right there imitating. Even that. True story. And if you were lucky for that, then you would have to take on the yoke of that rabbi. But that's why, hallelujah, Yeshua said, wait a minute. I think I need to at least open a piece of that up for you, because he said, go to Matthew 11. Let's do that. He said, come unto me. Let's go to 28. Come unto me. All ye that what? Labor. And are heavy laden. And what? Who will give you rest? He said, I. Yeshua said, I will give you rest. And then in the 29th verse, he said what? Take my yoke. Forget about all them other yokes of those other rabbis out there that didn't think you were good enough. But I'm telling you, I'm calling you, I'm selecting you, I'm calling you out, I'm telling you, you come and follow me. And if you do that, you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What does that mean? Let's grab learn. We're taking his yoke. Now we know what the yoke is. His yoke is his yoke. And he's saying, take my yoke and learn of me. When we look at learn, it's manthano. Say manthano. Manthano. What is that? What is that word? It's a Greek word. And it means this. To increase one's knowledge. It should be there, ladies. I want them to see this. Is it there? Let's do it. Increase one's knowledge. To hear and be informed. To be in the habit of increasing.
Whoa.
My God. So it's not just learn. When we hear the English learn, we're like, oh, just learn. Uh-uh. Manthano means to increase your knowledge, to hear and be informed, to be in the habit of increasing your knowledge. And you do that, somebody say, by practice. Wow. He's saying, take my yoke upon you and manthano, increase your knowledge. In this day and age, regular knowledge is not good enough, people. You need to dig deeper. See, you just want to read the scripture from cover to cover. That's cool. But you need to know what some of them words mean. You need to know what the intention was. You need to know what are the customs? What is the context? Right? And you can even go deeper. When they were speaking, when Luke was speaking, or John, Yohanan was speaking, they were talking to different audiences. What audience were they talking to? Well, you need to know the customs. Were they talking to Jews, Yehudins, or were they talking to Greeks? And what was the audience? But if you just got a surface knowledge, you don't know who. Well, he was talking to them. Well, who them? Well, he was just talking to them. Well, who are them? That drives me crazy sometimes. Well, they said, I want to know who they is. Because they be saying a whole bunch of stuff. And then when I ask a person who they is, they can't tell me who they. But he said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your soul. And 30 says what? For my yoke is what?
Easy.
And my burden. Anybody know about his easy yoke? Does he lift the heavy burden or what? Hallelujah. And so when we go here, let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Don't go far. And it says, Matthew 4th chapter. I'm going to wrap you up here. 18th verse. You got to say, I got it. And Yeshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Cephas, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, where they were fishers. So, why were these dudes fishing? They didn't make the cut. They couldn't go to the Ivy League. They're on the Clippers. I'm repeating what this brother said. See, but you see how that, you see how we do? They couldn't make it to the, but you know what? Clippers, they don't come up, y'all. I think they got a better record than the Lakers, my boy. I mean, I'm just saying. Apostle said Lakers don't even have a record. All right, you heard it. You heard it here. But he said, and Yeshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, or Cephas is his Hebrew name, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers, and they were fishers because the other rabbis rejected them. They missed a cut. They weren't considered good enough. They didn't, weren't considered that they knew enough. They didn't have enough concepts. And then the 19th verse says, and Yeshua said unto them, Lech Acharai. I know some other folks rejected you. I know some other folks left you behind. I know some other folks said you wasn't good enough. But as far as I'm concerned, you got what it takes for my yoke. You got the stuff. And because he told them to them, Lech Acharai means not just follow me, but it means literally walk after me. Hallelujah. Yeshua said, walk after me. Learn of me. Do the things I do. Imitate me. And if you do that, you're going to make it to the kingdom. That's what he told those dudes. And now it makes sense to me. Because this is what bothered me many, 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 many years. 19th verse. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is what bothered me. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And I'm like, all my life, I'm like, dude, you don't even know this man. He's just a man that came out of nowhere
And you're just going to drop your nets. You're going to drop your occupation. And you're just going to go and follow this man? You don't even know. You don't know him from Adam. Because we didn't know. But in the Hebrew custom, when a rabbi said, "Lech alai," it was like he said, "You have won the lottery." If you, and no matter what they were doing, they dropped everything. Whatever they had their hands on, they let it go. And this is what, this is another thing that kind of, when he says the sons of Zebedee, wait, let's go here. Go to the 21st verse. And going on from this, he saw the other two brethren, Yaakov, James, the son of Zebedee, and Yohanan, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, bending their nets. And Yeshua called them. And the 22nd verse says, and immediately left the ship and their father. And that's what bothered me too. I'm like, dude, what kind of father is that? It's just going to let their sons go. He's not going to be like, hey, come back here. You don't know that man. You come with me. Any fathers in the house? Can you imagine your child just going with a stranger? This dude said, gone. How on earth could Zebedee allow this man to come and take his kids? And then if I was Zebedee, I'd be like, y'all come back. Who gonna do all this fishing? I can't catch all this tilapia by myself. But no. See, Zebedee knew. If a rabbi said that my child is good enough, go. Y'all go and you follow him, and whatever he says, do it, because he said, "Lech alai, follow me, do what I do, imitate me, learn of me, because if you do that, I'm going to teach you something."
All right.
Teach you something. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you that you can be more than a fisherman, but I will make you fishers of men. And what did they do? They followed him straightway. Somebody say immediately. They dropped their nets. When Yeshua called you, did you drop your net? Did you decide and make up your mind that you were going to follow him? No matter what, you were going to fashion yourself after him. Whatever he did and whatever he told you to do, you were going to do. No matter how you thought it might be or how many nonsensical it may be, but whatever he says, you do it. Because the words he speaks are words of life. The instructions he gives are instructions of life. The things that he tells you to do are filled with blessing. Are you willing to drop your stuff? See, the nets is like your stuff. But you won't do. I won't do this. We got all kinds of nets. And we get tangled up in our nets. But he said, drop your net. Pick up my yoke and follow me. Do we got any here that are answering the Lech Alai? Thank you. Hallelujah.
because you're good enough. He picked you because you got what it takes. He picked you because he saw something in you that he can work with and you can do something for his kingdom. No matter what anybody said that you weren't good enough, you serve a God that says you're more than good enough. He said, you didn't pick me, I picked you. Is anybody chosen today? Anybody chosen? He picked you. He's working with you. He got an assignment. He got a job for you to do. Father Yabba, we thank you and praise you, Father. You did not have to choose us. You did not have to open up this brand new life to us, but you opened it up for us. Many of us were in terrible situations, but you swept through and rescued us, changed us, transformed us, gave us gifts, gave us purpose for you. That if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto yourself. So, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, if we have been slack concerning you, if we have not released our nets right now in the mighty name of Yeshua, we drop it all and we're serving you, we're honoring you, we're following you. Help us minister to us the importance of being led by you. That in all our ways we acknowledge you. And not only do you direct our path, you show us, you demonstrated to us the way to go. So we thank you, we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you. Help us be better for you. And we give you the glory and we thank you and praise you for this life that you have given us. We thank you and praise you for this purpose you have given us. We thank you and praise you. And we're careful to give you all the glory and honor in Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Please bow your heads. Bow your heads really quickly. I must do this. There are some of us that he's calling. Some of us he's already called, hallelujah. But he's calling you, he's calling you. He's drawing you, you know he is. And you came here today and you're saying, listen, I want this life, I want this genosko, this knowing that comes from a relationship. I want to initiate this relationship today. I've been kind of going back and forth with this, but I want to follow him. And if that's you this morning, just raise your hand. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. We're, it's a call. And if he's saying to you, I want you. No man or woman comes to him unless he draws them. And you know he's drawing you. And if you want to start this relationship, and you say, pray for me. I will pray for you. Just raise your hand and we can initiate that today. Hallelujah. We can do that today. That's one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we do. That's two. Hallelujah. Just keep your head bowed. Keep your head bowed. We keep our head bowed because those of us who are already following, hallelujah, we're interceding for those that are still trying to figure it out. So keep your head bowed. Next thing, maybe you're saying, hey, I was a follower. And I was going in his direction, but I kind of went off path. I drifted away. I'm not as close as I used to be. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us, but we tend to drift off. And you know he's calling you back, and you want restoration this morning.
Restoration is here for you. I can pray for that. Just raise your hand and I'll pray for your restoration. That's you. Restoration. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And maybe you're saying, hey, you know what? I'm just not sure where I stand in all of this. But I know that I'm feeling something. I know that this has got to be real. I'm drawn. And if that's you, I can pray for you. We can clarify everything for you today. Just raise your hand. Hallelujah. This one. So keep your head bowed. When he said, let ha'alai or follow me, that's an action verb. That's a verb. It calls for action. So I need you, if you raise your hand for any of that, everybody's head is bowed. Don't worry about people looking. You come up right here with me. Action. Get up. Come. Follow. Let's pray about it right here. Just come right here where I am. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Everyone else, keep your head bowed. We're going to initiate this today. Hallelujah.